Proverbs chapter 11, I'm going to read a few verses there, and then we're going to talk about several other passages here for the next few moments as we see what God's going to do. I'm not going to give you anything new because missions is never changes. It's always the same thing. It just, you know, you just deliver it a different way, but always boils down to the same thing. And there are certain things that we do and all the time and remind people. And it's amazing how quickly we forget. And God has to remind us all the time. So Proverbs chapter number 11, and read you a practical precept here. Then we're going to dissect this and then look at several other points here this morning in our Sunday school hour. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege to be here on the Lord's Day and to be in Sunday school in your local church, be able to open up the Bible, this inspired book that will give us principles that I trust that you will touch our hearts in a special way, that during this Sunday morning service or Sunday evening service, that we will allow you to speak through this congregation to do what you would have them to do for the cause of world evangelization. Thank you for those who've come out today. We ask a very special blessing upon the Sunday school hour. Now teach us from your word. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Here we find in Proverbs chapter number 11 what we call practical precept from Proverbs. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, has a lot of precepts here. I preached years and years ago through the book of Proverbs and preached on practical precepts from Proverbs. And there are a lot of them, a lot of things to be able to learn. But I think given the circumstances of what we face here as a church, obviously it's going to take a mighty hand of God working this year for you to accomplish what you've done in previous years, but nothing is impossible with God. You believe that? Say amen. I've seen God do great and mighty things. But he gives us a practical precept of a principle that you can apply to your attitude on what you're going to do in giving to this year's missions conference. He gives us a story about two farmers. He says, there is a scattereth in verse 24 and yet increases. One farmer looks at the circumstances where things were difficult and going through a hard time and didn't have a whole lot. And he took the little bit that he had, stopped looking at his circumstances, stopped looking at himself and started looking at others. And he took the little that he had instead of holding on to it. He sowed it. And he increased. Then the other farmer who took the little that he had, looked at himself, looked at the circumstances and says, you know, I better hold on to this. I can't get rid of it. And he held on to it and he ended up in poverty. And it's a good principle to be able to learn when it comes to giving. You know, you take one person, will give of what he has, regardless of circumstances, regardless of the situation, because he's unselfish and will give and end up with more. You take another person, will look at circumstances, think about himself, hold on to what he has, and always seems to end up with less. You know, that's the principle when it comes to giving to the work of God. The attitude of giving, your attitude toward giving is an indicator of your spiritual condition. Let me tell you something. I've been saved 42 and a half years, and I have dealt with people. I dealt with people before I got saved. A 20-year-old was in business, and I learned how to deal with people. And, you know, we are a weird bunch from time to time. People are people. Every church has problems because every church has people. And there are no churches without problems. So we find out that we as people do strange things. And we have to learn and understand when you're dealing with people, all kinds of things happen in our lives. I've seen all kinds of situations, but your level of spirituality, I've never seen a person who genuinely loves God the way we ought to that has a problem with giving. Amen. You can give and not love God, but you can't love God and not give. God has made giving an indication of where we stand with him. So what he's looking for in this missions conference, and by the way, probably, if I'm wrong, tell me, and you probably need to tell your pastor first, probably there are no millionaires sitting in here this morning. Oh, amen. Amen? No? Probably not any big time wage earners in here. I mean, you're probably not sitting here making $200,000 or $300,000 a year. If you are, you certainly have not indicated that by what you're giving. All right. So if we look at the giving here, so we can't say we got these big time givers here. All right. So but God's not impressed with that. You don't impress God by how much you have in life. We impress God by how much of the heart God has. And that's going to be demonstrated. There are a lot of people who are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and going to be rewarded for giving a lot less than some people gave monetarily when they put in the offering plate. So what God is looking for here, he's simply looking at people today that will look at what we tried to talk about, the condition of the world, the needs of the world, and say that, you know what? I'm going to do my very best for Almighty God. That's all he's looking for. And he is going to set the standard of spirituality of this local church. And you mark it down. It's never going to change. It's going to be based upon what this group of people will do financially based upon your love for God, your love for the world, your desire, your burden, and what you've learned. That's going to be demonstrated by what you put on the card. So he gives this example. What's my attitude? And then he says in the middle of these three verses, what I want us to focus on here, because I believe this is what is going to be needed here. He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, I'm a fundamental independent Baptist, and that's all I've been all my life. And I thank God today that I didn't get saved. I grew up in a traditional church that I never understood some of the things, a primitive Baptist church, where when they had communion, they had to wash foot washing. You know, that was all a part, all kinds of weird stuff that took place. Never saw in all my years until I stopped going as a teenager, never saw anybody get saved. They never had an invitation to get saved. All they did was at the end of the service, they had all the sinners who were sitting on the back row stand up and we'll pray for you during revival meeting that you get religion. That's it. And so I did. But when I got saved in an independent Baptist church, things were laid out clear. Bible believing, showed me how to be saved, showed me how to go to heaven. And that was very, very important. So I'm not one that's ever been confused since I got saved. I got saved at the age of 30 in an independent Baptist church, been an independent Baptist all 42 and a half years of my life. And though the independent Baptist is doing some crazy things, I still believe it's the most Bible New Testament church on the face of the earth. We just don't practice all the things that we've learned. So I thank God today that I'm an independent Baptist. But one thing about being an independent Baptist is a word that's used in here that's not a very good word among us, and that's the word liberal. Liberal is usually not a good word for an independent Baptist. So there's some things as independent Baptists I believe we ought not to be liberal about. I don't think we ought to be liberal in our political views, and we won't spend any time talking about that, but most good independent Baptists are not liberal when it comes to politics. I don't believe, as good Bible-believing independent Baptists, that we ought to be liberal in our standards. I believe Christian people ought to look like Christian people, act like Christian people. I think we ought to be able to tell us from the world. I really believe that. I don't think we ought to be liberal in our philosophy. I think I'm basically a conservative person in my philosophy. I really believe that, and I don't see any reason to change that. I don't think that we ought to be liberal when it comes to our music. I don't think you ought to walk into church and think you're in a nightclub. You believe that? I think you walk in a local church, you know, Jesus ought to stand out. The melody ought to be right. The message ought to be right. There are just some things that we ought not to be liberal about. But in the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, it says in verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, that word liberal there is talking about a soul of blessing or a giving soul. It says that a liberal soul or a soul of blessing or a giving soul shall be made fat or shall be blessed. Now, as a pastor for 30 years, And a preacher who've done revival meetings and all kinds of things. And I preached your pastor out of being liberal years ago. And he got saved and straightened it out. And you know he's pretty conservative now. But you preach a lot of times trying to keep people from not being liberal in certain things. I mean, people want to be liberal in standard. They look at the world and want to be like the world. They want to be liberal in their philosophy. They want to be liberal in their dress. All of these things, you spend a whole lot of time preaching independent Baptists on how not to be liberal in these areas. Well, the Bible says there's one thing that is okay to be liberal about. Amen. And that's the attitude I want you to have when it comes to your missions giving this year. I want you to be a liberal soul when it comes to missions. I want to be liberal in my giving. And I believe it's going to take some liberal souls out of this group for you to reach your goal this year. So I want you to think for the next few moments as I explain this passage, how to become a liberal soul. How liberal can I be as a member of Shining Light Baptist Church to help my church be what God wants it to be? A liberal soul. Several things he tells us here about being a liberal soul toward giving. The Bible tells us that the liberal soul shall be prosperous. Now, before I point out these three simple things, let me give you three principles about giving, which you probably all, I call them the three P's of giving. The first P in giving is what I call paying, P-A-Y-I-N-G. All right? Paying, that's your tithe. All right? The Bible says the tithe is the Lord. Now, you know this because your pastor is a Bible preacher, Bible teacher, and he's taught you on tithes and offerings. You realize just to be scriptural. Just to be scriptural. I'm not talking about being liberal giver. I'm not talking about being a general. I'm just talking about just to be scriptural. To line up with the Bible, you must give at least a tithe, which is 10% of all thine increase, and some kind of an offering. Let's just say, let's take 100 and just say, to be scriptural, I must be at least 11% giver. So I give a 10% tithe and a 1% offering. If every person in the Shining Light Baptist Church were to do that, you would be scriptural, but that wouldn't make you spiritual. Because all I'm doing is obeying. Paying is obeying. I'm obeying what I've been commanded to do. I'm commanded in the Bible to give a tithe and offerings. Will a man rob God? Where have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. So just for the sake of it, and by the 1% is just figurative, okay? You don't have to, the Bible doesn't tell us how much of a tithe. It just says, I must give a tithe and an offering. So if everybody were to give a tithe and some kind of an offering through the ministry of the Shining Light Baptist Church, everybody in here would be scriptural, but not necessarily spiritual. We're simply paying that which we owe. I pay my mortgage every month. At the end of the year, they don't send me a bonus because I paid it. They don't do that. And by the way, they don't reduce my principal because I paid it on time. I'm simply paying what I contracted to do. So if you tithe every single Sunday and gave that 1% offering every single Sunday, you should not be entitled to any kind of blessing because all we're doing is paying God what we owe him. Now, it's important that we understand that because giving starts after you pay your tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings are used in the church to be able to take care of the church and all the needs of the church. That has nothing to do with reaching beyond these walls, all right? So the first principle is paying. Then the second principle is what I call, the second P is proving. All right, so if I give above my tithes and offering, I'm proving something. What am I proving? I'm proving that I'm willing to take something out of the other 89% that is left, and I'm willing to sacrifice to prove to God something. All right, I'm sacrificed, and by the way, that it may take a sacrifice. It may in order to give. So you pay your tithe, you give beyond that tithe and offering. Let's say you gave another. When I was a young Christian, I can remember praying, God help me. I'm tithing now. Help me to get to the point where my offerings is half of a tithe. And I remember going, God help me to get to the point where my tithe is 10% and my offerings is 10%. God help me to get to the point that my offering is above that. And over the years, before I ever left my local church, I was there 5.5 years, I got to the point where 33% of everything I earned, I gave back to the Lord. And that was years and years ago. But you do that because now it took sacrifice. Mm-hmm. The tithes and offering, you don't pray about that. That's commanded. Yeah. But I want to prove to God, because you know what? After getting saved at 30, every single year, mm-hmm. I learned more about God, more about his goodness. And I wanted to do more to prove to him that I loved it. All right, so you start giving by paying your tithes and offerings. Then you give aside, you give the building funds, you give the other things, you increase your offerings to prove you love God. Then the third principle, I need to be giving in a way that is pleasing. All right, so I'm paying, I'm proving, and then I'm pleasing. That's where your missions offering come, because the Bible tells us that I need to give, and we'll see that I've got to give in a certain way where I'm beyond just paying my tithes and offerings, but I'm giving in a way that requires faith and grace and all of this to help reach other people. All right, those are the principles that we learn. I begin my giving by paying my tithes and offerings. I increase my giving by proving that I love. That's based on sacrifice. And then I learn to give in a pleasing way that's based upon love. The more you love God, the more you learn to give. Now, it says here, the liberal soul, the soul of blessings, in Proverbs chapter number 11, verses 24 through 26. All right, we're talking about being liberal in giving to missions. And then we start our giving by paying our tithes and offerings. That's obedience. Giving beyond that, increasing my offerings, that's proving that I'm willing to sacrifice for the work of God. And then when it comes to missions, I'm giving in a way that's pleasing. That's based on my love for God. Now let's find out what a liberal soul is. How do I become a liberal soul? How will I know whether I'm liberal in my giving to missions? Three things that you'll find about a liberal soul. The first one is found here in verse 24. He says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. All right. The first thing I learned about a liberal soul is always generous in his giving. All right. If I just pay my tithe and give my percentage of offering every week, that's not being generous. All right. I'm only paying what I owe God. But a liberal soul, a soul of blessing, a soul that looks beyond themselves and look at what the needs will always be generous in his giving. And we don't learn that, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10, or chapters that we use to teach faith, promise, grace, giving. But it says in chapter number 9, in verse number 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart. All right, that whole section there in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, it's not talking about tithes and offerings. It's talking about giving for the sake of other people. And it says here, if I'm going to be a generous giver toward missions, then I have to become a considerate giver. What is a considerate giver? One who purpose in his heart. Missions, and I make no bones about it, and would say it in this church, in any church, missions is spiritual business. That's heart business, not head business. Tithing is not spiritual business. Tithing is an act of obedience. Well, you either pay your tithes in and through the local church, or it will be paid some other way. The tithe is the Lord. You either pay it through the local church, which is a storehouse, or God will take it from some other place. Sometimes the mechanic shop will get it. Sometimes the hospital will get it. But God will get his tithe. Nobody ever spends God's tithe. It's his, all right? You may think you're getting away with it, all right, but you don't get away with it. All right, but when it comes to missions, when it comes to being liberal in giving, I've got to be a considerate giver. I need to purpose in my heart. Then it goes on in that verse and says, not grudgingly or on necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So if I'm going to be in that liberal soul, I'm a considerate giver, then I'm a cheerful giver. I am not saddened when I put my envelope in the offering plate. Amen. You know, it's only one or two times I travel out here. I left Wednesday to travel to Tucson, Arizona. We travel a lot. Been doing it for a lot of years. One of the first things that I do, I make arrangement. I'm leaving on a Wednesday. I won't be in church Sunday. I write out my envelope, write out my check, put my tithes and offerings in there, make sure that my secretary, my daughter, or my son, or somebody will have that to put in the offering plate on Sunday morning. Last Sunday, I had just gotten back, and one of the deacons or the ushers walked up to me and gave me my envelope back at the end of the Sunday morning service. And I was kind of stunned. So what is this about? He said, there's no check in there. I felt guilty because I had to go home and bring my check back for the Sunday night offering, because my intentions is that when I come into the house of God, I want to, giving is part of worship. And if I'm going to worship God, and I felt that I had robbed God for a few hours because I didn't, you said that's legalistic, call it what you want to. It's worked pretty good for me over the years, and I plan to keep on doing it. I get excited about getting up, writing out my check. And on that check, on our envelope, we have tithes and offerings. That's one slot. Then we have, in the middle of that, there's missions. And then to the side, there's another slot there. Was building fund. So on my tithes and offering envelope, there's a figure for tithes and offerings. There's a figure for missions. There's a figure on this side for building fund. Then across the top, there's a COBA offering. And to the right, there's a CDC offering. And to the top of it, there's a sound system offering. Now, the sound system we took 2 years ago, but I've always made this habit. If I ever give something for a while, then I don't want to change it, so I'll just leave it there. So even though the sound system is ended, we never go back and say, I only did that for a while. Now, you may not be able to do that, but that's what we do as a family. That's what my kids do, my son does. We do it all the time, and we do that. And so you do that all the time. And you do that because you understand that giving is a part of worship. And I don't feel bad. I feel bad if I don't write the check and put it in on Sunday morning. Some people go out of town all the time and never think about leaving their tithes and offerings. And may God help us. I want to be a considerate giver. I need to be a consistent giver. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine, in Proverbs 3:9-10. And then a generous giver is a considerate giver. It's a matter of the heart. He is a cheerful giver. You know, you enjoy doing that. You're a consistent giver. You do it consistently. And then you're a church giver. You do it on the first day of the week. You put it into the local church. So the first principle I want to learn when it comes to being A liberal soul is, I have to become a generous giver. And when you fill out your faith promise this morning, be as generous as you can because of what God's purposed in your heart. And if he purposed it in your heart, you'll give cheerfully, you'll give consistently, and you'll be a church giver where you'll do it on the first day of the week. God set down those principles in his word. It's not a pastor's thing that's on the church covenant, what we do. It's on what the Bible says we ought to do, and may God help us. All right, so to be a liberal soul, I must be a generous giver. Now let's go back to verse 25 and notice something else. The second thing about a liberal soul. A liberal soul is always a generous giver. But I like this part, and so will you. Verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. A liberal soul is not only a generous giver, but a liberal soul gains from his giving. Nobody, no farmer has ever planted something and he didn't get something out of it. You know, I grew up on a dairy farm, and on that dairy farm, they planted corn all the time. Maybe the one thing I've eaten all my life since I was a little boy is boiled corn. I still like it. You get some boiled corn, and I mean, you put some butter on it, and you sprinkle some salt and a whole lot of pepper, and we can go to town. I've eaten corn sometime when that's all we had to eat was corn, you know? But you got to understand that how God operates. He says the more generous you are in your giving, the more you gain from your giving. He didn't have to do that, but he does. God, you know, God said, I own everything. I'm not trying to get you to do something. I'm going to reward you for doing it. And he says that if you are liberal, generous in your giving, mark it down. He says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, shall be blessed. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. If I plant something, I'm going to get something for. Therefore, it reminds me of a couple of principles we found throughout the scriptures. First of all, in Luke 6:38, it says this, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Giving hands are always receiving hands. And by the way, it's not always money, but many times it will be money. I mean, I can look back over my life and I can see. I started tithing 3 weeks after I got saved. I got saved the first Sunday. I gave, I put $5 in the offering plate. Amen. The second Sunday, I got big time. I'm a big time businessman. You know, I own my own business and everything. The next week, I put $25 in. The third week, I heard the preacher preach on tithing. Now, I don't know how I missed all he said on tithing. Maybe I learned from it because I try to explain. But I went back and figured out what my paycheck was, how much I took home, and I put in 10% of my net. The next week, or somewhere after that, I heard you tithe off your gross, all thine increase. But when I put it down on paper, I was already running several hundred dollars in the hole. But the Bible says the tithe is the Lord. And at the end of the third Sunday, I started tithing off my gross and my wife's gross because she was working, even though we were running a deficit in 1976. And here it is, 2018, I've never one time ever robbed God since that day. And I'm going to tell you something. I earn less money today than when I had two businesses in the 80s. I mean, we had just about as much as you could. Traded a car every 12 to 18 months, and had my son went away to college. He had a diner's card, an American Express card, and a carte blanche card until I found out that he was taking everybody in school out at my expense. So we had to kind of put big time Michael anyway, big time spender. But and gave all of that up for the ministry. Only travel. I still have on my thing, the first country you ever visited was Canada, with the Niagara Falls, Canada. All those years in business. And then got out of all of that, still drive a nice car, live in the nicest house I've ever lived in. Canada was the only country we'd ever visit all those years. We've been all over the world, been to the Caribbean 130 times, and have more today than we ever had before, with less than 50% of what we ever earned before. You can't, there's no way to explain that, except that you understand that if you sow, you're going to reap. Giving hands, always receiving hands. Sowing bountifully means you're going to reap bountifully. Don't expect to get $100 blessings off $1 giving. It doesn't make that way. And I'm not trying to say that it's not. It's not. And by the way, you find out that if your income doesn't go up and your giving goes up, you got to have a couple of other things go up. It's called faith. And it's called grace. And if you trust God, he will never have you sow bountifully without reaping bountifully. It's impossible to do that. And now I put it that most people here don't own businesses. Most people haven't been where we've been. And most people we pastor, I pastor a whole lot of churches where people, my church, where people don't earn that kind of money. But people have learned the principles. There are people, if you make on $100 a week, you put that principle, it'll work. You make $1,000 a week, you put that principle, it'll work. God is not impressed by what we have. And he's not impressed about the amount of money you put in the offering plate. He's more impressed about the amount of sacrifice you do for his cause. All right, so if I'm going to be a liberal soul, I first must be a generous giver. And then I need to learn the principle that I gain from my giving. Therefore, giving hands are receiving hands, and sowing bountifully means reaping blessings. And then the third thing and the final thing he says here, and this really, really applies to my attitude toward missions. In verse 26, he says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessings shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. And the picture of this is a picture of a corn grower who holds back selling the corn because he's not going to get a good price for it. So he's going to hold, even though there's a need for it, he's going to hold on and wait for a better time to sell it. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So he compares someone who looks at circumstances and say, this is not the best time for me to plant my seed, and he holds on to it. The other person looks at the need, regardless of the circumstances, and plants his anyway. And so when I think about being liberal, I've got to be generous in my giving. Yes, sir. I know I'm going to gain from my giving, but there comes a time when it comes to missions where you have to be gracious in your giving. Yes, sir. What I mean by that, you've got to give regardless of your circumstances. That's why it's called faith promise. That's why it's called grace giving. Faith promise. And by the way, most in 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, when it talks about the churches of Macedonia, and those first five verses where it talks about they gave to their power and beyond their power. Their power is their ability. Those poor churches in Macedonia gave to their ability. In other words, they were willing to sacrifice out of the little that they had, and they were still burdened to do more and gave beyond their power, which meant they had to give through God blessing them to give what they didn't have. Most of us don't get to giving by faith, including yours truly. I don't know if I've ever given solely by faith. I've given by sacrifice. I've had to give up some things. If you increase your giving twice a year and you increase your salary doesn't go up, you're going to come some point in time and you're going to have to sacrifice. So I've learned to sacrifice, but I don't know if I honestly can say that I've been so bad off that I couldn't find anything to give. I've always had something I could sacrifice to be able to give. And the Bible teaches us if you can't give out of what you have and not willing to sacrifice out of what you have, don't spend any time, wasted time, asking God to give you the faith to give beyond what you already have. If I can't give out of the two eggs that I have, and I can't give one of them, then don't be asking God to give me a dozen to be able to do it. It doesn't work that way. Faith promises giving regardless of your circumstances and regardless of the consequences of doing it. You're giving because you're willing to sacrifice for the cause of world evangelization. And I trust that when you give and make your faith promise, which I trust every person who's a member of the local church will understand that the mission of the church is missions. I want to be a part of the team. I want to live to please God. And God help me to be a liberal soul. I don't want to spend time being liberal in all the other things that the world is. Help me to be a liberal soul, a soul of blessing. Help my commitment to the Lord to be as generous as I can. I already know giving hands are receiving hands. Sowing bountifully means I'm going to reap blessings. But God, you know, I've got some difficult situations here. Job, demotion, illness, all kinds of circumstances. Help me to be a liberal soul that will rely upon grace and faith to go ahead and give anyway, because I want to be a soul of blessing. God blessed Abraham that he might be a blessing to others. I believe God blesses people that we'll be a blessing to others. I believe God blesses church members that they might be able to give to help the church to carry out the Great Commission. And may God help us in this year's Grace Giving Missions Conference to say, Lord, help me to be liberal in my giving. I want to be a liberal soul, a soul of blessing, which is a generous giver who gains from his giving. And yeah, I may have to be a gracious giver this year because I have no idea where it's going to come from. But I know, God, you are God who gives us faith, and you'll give us the grace to do it anyway. After all, there's still over 7.5 billion people in the world that need the gospel. And you've commanded Shining Light Baptist Church to be the kind of church that will have a commitment to reach the world. Help us to be as liberal as we can be for world evangelization this year. Our Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful privilege given us to worship. You make it very clear in your word that giving is a part of worship. We pay our tithes and offerings as an act of obedience. We increase and give to offerings beyond that because we're proving we're willing to sacrifice for the work of God. And then help us to see the world that we may give in a way that's pleasing because it's based upon love. Help us to be a considerate giver. Help us to be the kind of giver who purpose in his or her heart. Help us to be a church giver that we give in and through the local church and be consistent to give on a regular basis. Now I pray you'll bless all that takes place. I pray you'll take this practical precept, help us to apply it to our lives when it comes to giving. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.